Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Hare Krishna, thank you for coming. We're reading today from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge. The verse is 12. I'll read it. Moghasha Mogakadmano Moghasha Mogakadmano Moghagyana Vichetasaha Moghasha Mogakadmano Moghagyana Vichetasaha. Moghasya moga kadmano moga jnana vichetasaha. Sima surim chaiva itim mohinim shrita rakshasim asurim chaiva prakritim mohinim shrita. Rakshas. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Oh, please repeat. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Purport. There are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the absolute truth. For them, the fruit of devotional service, going back to Godhead, will never be tasted. Similarly, those who are engaged in fruitive pious activities and who are ultimately hoping to be liberated from this material entanglement will never be successful either, because they deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In other words, persons who mock Krishna are to be understood to be demonic or atheistic. As described in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, such demonic miscreants never surrender to Krishna. Therefore, their mental speculations to arrive at the absolute truth bring them to the false conclusion that the ordinary living entity and Krishna are one and the same. With such a false conviction, they think that the body of any human being is now simply covered by material nature, and that as soon as one is liberated from this material body, there is no difference between God and himself. This attempt to become one with Krishna will be baffled because of delusion. Such a theistic and demoniac cultivation of spiritual knowledge is always futile. That is the indication of this verse. For such persons, cultivation of the knowledge of the Vedic literature, like the Vedanta Sutra and Upanishads, is always baffled. It is a great offense, therefore, to consider Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be an ordinary man. Those who do so are certainly deluded, because they cannot understand the eternal form of Krishna. The Brihad Vishnu Smriti clearly states, Yavati bhautikam deham krishnasya paramatmanaha sa sarvasmad bhishkarya shrauta smarta vidhanataha mukham tasya valokyapi sachelam snanam acharet. One who considers the body of Krishna to be material should be driven out from all rituals and activities of the Shruti and the Smriti. And if one by chance sees his face, One should at once take bath in the Ganges to rid himself of infection. People jeer at Krishna because they're envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their destiny is certainly to take birth after birth in the species of atheistic and demoniac life. Perpetually, their real knowledge will remain under delusion, and gradually they will regress to the darkest region of creation. Here the Bhagavad Gita class. I would like to ask for your blessings to speak something that will be serving you and also purifying me. I was asked to give this class. Gokulananda Prabhu asked me to give the class, and I said, how can I possibly give this class? I'm so unqualified. And then he said, well, don't worry, you can give it on Wednesday because it's the Mega Youth Festival and hardly any devotees will be here. So I said, oh yes, I will give that class then. Then it's safe. But still, a few devotees came, so please forgive me and please bless me to say something that will be beneficial. So I told a friend of mine that I'm going to speak about this verse, the verse that is relating to the demoniac people, those who don't surrender to Krishna, those who make their own spiritual practice, those who basically do what comes up in their furtive mind. And he said, oh yes, this is your chance. Now you can speak about the demoniac people because we have been studying together. We've been following different aspects of the global economy and different theories related to the government and so on and so forth, different things that are happening in Kali Yuga. And he said, yes, now you can finally speak about it. Krishna has given you a chance to speak about all these conspiracy theories and things like that. But then I thought, no, actually, I'm not going to go into details of everything that's happening in the material government of America, of India. That is available on the internet. What I wanted to speak about is the general culture of that lacks surrender to Krishna. The modern culture that we see today that is basically based on people's concoction, not following the Vedic tradition, not following the original culture that is given by Krishna. And we see that it is causing so much disturbance in the world today, in society. So many people are suffering from poverty of, of course, economic poverty, but also their health has reduced the richness of the earth, the culture, knowledge, intelligence, duration of life, as we see in the Bhagavatam. All these things are reducing gradually because people are refusing to surrender to Krishna. People are refusing to study this knowledge and surrender to this knowledge given by Krishna. The very interesting thing is that somebody told me some time ago, he was asked, how is the Gita still relevant to our lives? Somebody asked him, how is the Gita still relevant? You know, it happened 5,000 years ago, or some people say even at a different time, and it's just some warriors on the battlefield, and Krishna was there, but we don't know if he really existed or not, and maybe he's just an historical personality. And how is it relevant today? You know, today we need economic development, and we need to make money, we need to support ourselves, we need to have a nice situation, and what is there, you know, Gita? And then I was thinking, people who ask these questions are usually not acquainted with the Gita. They're not really acquainted with the contents of the Gita. Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. They're not acquainted with the knowledge that is presented in the Gita, the knowledge that is coming from Krishna about the material world, all the elements of the material world, about the material body, how we come from boyhood to youth to old age, about the nature of consciousness, about the eternal soul, about the nature of Krishna. All these things are eternally there, and they're relevant to our lives at any given point, because when we come to acknowledge the existence of the spirit soul, we come to see that we are eternal, this knowledge is eternal, And therefore, it's always relevant. Just like somebody can ask, how is food or prasad, how is it relevant to our lives? Of course, they wouldn't say prasad, they would say food. How is air relevant to my life? I can just stop breathing and... No, but actually air is always relevant because without air, you cannot maintain this material body. Food for the karmis or prasad for the devotees is always relevant because we cannot maintain our material body, and with prasad also, it's very important to our spiritual life. How is the sun relevant to us? How, you know, all these things. So in the same manner, how is the Gita relevant to us? Because it has eternal, unchangeable, essential truths that define who we are, what is the purpose of life, who is Krishna. Like Prabhupada is saying, you want to love Krishna wants to love you, and you want to love someone. So this knowledge allows you to direct your love to Krishna. So this is how it's relevant, because we cannot attain happiness without Krishna. When we understand that Krishna is the source of happiness, then there is no question of attaining real happiness without Krishna. That is the point. This is how it is relevant. Somebody is asking, yeah, you know, I'm working in this wonderful company. I studied engineering, and I studied, you know, programming, and I'm a computer expert. I'm this, I'm that, and now I have so much money. But despite all these efforts, there is recession. Now, so many people are investing their entire energy in cultivation of materialistic lifestyle. And still they're baffled, just like this verse is saying, there is recession, and even if they have some good economic situation, they have to pay so much for so many basic aspects of life, the apartment, the electric bill, the car, this, that. It's a big, complicated headache, material life. And when we come to spiritual life, everything is becoming so easy because we're sheltered. We're taking shelter under the divine energy of Krishna. Krishna is directly taking care of us. So it's just like holding the hand, like the small boy holds the hand of the father. And everything becomes so sublime. Even the so-called difficulties that we have, many times we forget how difficult it is for people outside. We can just call some. I mean, we don't have to. We can also reflect deeply on how it was. But even I know people who sometimes have some contact with their old friends, and they're asking, "How are you doing?" And it's so horrible. They're so horrified. Then at the end of the conversation, I think, "Wow, thank Krishna, thank Krishna, I'm here. He saved me. You know, thanks Srila Prabhupada, he saved me. He saved me from, because all these miseries that we have. Oh." They didn't serve my favorite sabji today, or, you know, all these kind of so-called miseries. People outside are suffering so much more because they're not surrendering to Krishna. And the Bhagavad Gita is so special. It's the mercy pastime of Krishna, because he has given us this knowledge by which we can so easily access a relationship with him. We can read about Krishna, we can turn to Krishna, we can pray to Krishna, we can remember Krishna. And the ninth chapter is so important because it's the essence of the Gita, it's the heart of the Gita. I just, this Janmashtami, I was sick, and everybody was, of course, there was a smaller program, but everybody was dancing in the kirtan. I was in the sick room, because I wasn't going to infect anybody, you know, so it was contagious. I had some cold or flu or who knows what. Now I'm fine. But I was watching all these Srila Prabhupada Memories videos. You know the Srila Prabhupada Memories? It's a collection of DVDs that records Srila Prabhupada's disciples. And they speak about the memories of Srila Prabhupada, and they share their realizations, different exchanges that they had with Prabhupada, how Prabhupada gave them different instructions, different pastimes. So there is one DVD with Indradumna Maharaj. And he says, He tells a story how one time he was preaching in France and he met this French admiral and he gave him the Bhagavad Gita. And he said, well, I now have to go because I'm going to meet my spiritual master. We're going to drive, like, I know they're driving hours and hours from Corsica in the south of France to wherever Srila Prabhupada was visiting. And then this admiral said, I'm going with you. I'm going to meet your spiritual master. And then they were driving for hours and hours. And then he met Srila Prabhupada. And he told him, I bought the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, oh, it's very nice. And then he said, but I cannot, I don't think I'll be able to read it, everything. It's, you know, I won't be able to read everything. What can I concentrate on? And Srila Prabhupada said, read the ninth chapter. That's the essence of the Gita. Read the ninth chapter. And then Indratuma Maharaj says that he met this admiral maybe 7 years ago, 7 years after that, like after that pastime occurred with Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, it's a whole story. You can see the DVD. It's really special. So he tells him, this admiral, he says, there isn't a week that goes by that I don't read this Bhagavad Gita, especially the ninth chapter. So it's so special. It's the essence of the Bhagavad Gita because we see the first six chapters, they speak about karma. They introduce different aspects of this world and duty. And of course, there is some discussion about the soul. But mainly, it refers to different aspects of the material world, how to get out of it through karma yoga. Then the seventh chapter describes, okay, there is a higher nature, and there are people who, there are those who surrender to it, those who don't. The eighth chapter, discussion about death, what happens after death, the different paths and so on. And then the ninth chapter is referring specifically, we start specifically going into the intimacy of devotion, of relation to Krishna, with the last verse that encourages us to offer everything to Krishna, our obeisances, becoming his devotee. So then, yesterday was 9:11, a very important verse that tells us, fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as a supreme lord of all that be. So basically, this refers to people who either they saw Krishna when he was here, or even today, they just hear about Krishna, but they don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I read the lecture that Prabhupada is giving on this verse, and he said, how can you not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You say, I don't believe in Krishna. But how do you speak? Where does the power of your voice come from? You say, I don't think Krishna is God, but how do you think? Where does your intelligence come from? Where do things come? What is the source of creation? So it's either, okay, we approach the Vedic literature and we take it as a whole. We see there's an explanation of creation, there's a description of Krishna, and there's a description of Krishna's position. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's described in so many literatures. But they say, okay, Krishna was there, but he's not the Supreme Personality of God. Or he is not there. But actually, they're not really... it's improper. Because, like Prabhupada is saying, where do these things come from? Where does the creation come from? I was doing Sankirtan in one university in my country, in Israel. And I went to one scientific department. And they had a big poster of the creation, their explanation of the creation. It's unbelievable. I wish I had it here. And there are so many question marks. Like, there's a whole process, how things develop. And seriously, they have different question marks describing how they're not sure how this led to that, but it must have happened somehow, and then we get creation as it is today. So many holes, so many problems with these theories, but still they stick to it. And here we have the complete science of Krishna consciousness. Why is it the complete science? Because it describes the creation in a complete, satisfying manner. It describes all the elements. It describes the difference between the material body and the soul. It describes the connection of the soul with Krishna. And the most important thing is that when we apply this knowledge into our lives, we become happy. That's the most crucial point, that we become happy. that people, if you apply yourself 100% to your country, to your job, to your maybe, I mean, I'm not saying about you, just in people outside, to some material relationship, family, this ism, that ism, like Prabhupada says, it's not going to work. You won't experience the complete happiness that you experience just by being in kirtan, just by taking prasad, just by seeing Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's murti, Srila Prabhupada on video, reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So much happiness is there. I was speaking with one devotee friend some time ago, and I was so disturbed because I was, as I said in the beginning, I was learning all this situation with the world economics and the government and this and that and what is happening in the World Trade Center and also the terrorist attacks on Mumbai and this and that. And I felt so disturbed. I was like, and then this devotee said, you forgot Krishna. You just forgot Krishna. Krishna is a supreme controller. He will take care of everything. He is taking care of everything. He's taking care of his devotees. And then I kind of, okay, I heard it. Then I was chanting, and then I was reading, and I felt so satisfied just by this connection with Krishna, just by praying to Krishna, Krishna, please help me to connect with you, please. And there's so much happiness. So it's so important to remember Krishna. And this is why this chapter is called The Most Confidential Knowledge. Because otherwise we can, you know, the Gita is like there are 18 chapters. So the first six are karma, the last six are jnana, and in the middle there is the diamond of bhakti. So, you know, if we take out the bhakti, it would just be kind of the second chapter. It tells you, you know, the happy are the kshatriyas and do this duty and varnashram and so many things we could be lost in. But the most confidential knowledge is Krishna, is bhakti, devotional service to Krishna. Become my devotee, offer obeisances to me. This connection with Krishna is so in the core of our existence, of our happiness. That's why it's the most confidential. I wanted to say something here about Prabhupada saying, as described in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, such demoniac miscreants never surrender to Krishna. So, you remember in the seventh chapter, 7:15, there are different kinds of demons described. We have the those who are just like a mudha, right? They work like an ass. Those who are naradamas, that they are the lowest of mankind. Srila Prabhupada says they had some connection, they had some opportunity with spiritual life. Maybe they heard of Krishna, maybe they were grown in a Brahmin family, maybe they had this, that, but they left it, like Jagai and Madai. He's giving this example. Then we have the Maya Parita Jnana, those who are deluded by Maya, who even though they study, they can study science or they can study the Vedic literature, but Maya has, illusion has just kind of taken away their intelligence and they miss the conclusion. They can recite this and that slow, you know, the whole day, but the conclusion, yes, Krishna is a supreme personality of Godhead. Yes, I am the servant of Krishna. My happiness is by serving Krishna. That is not there. That is not everything they'll tell you about the Vedas and the Upanishads and this and that and the whole. Krishna is the supreme personality of God? No. So that their knowledge is stolen. And then you have the Asuras, who directly take shelter of the demoniac energy. Like the Maya Paritagana, some or other, their knowledge was stolen. But the Asuras are those who wholeheartedly surrender to the demoniac nature. And Prabhupada says in this verse, in that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge, they're all defeated. Without Krishna, it's all defeated. Everything we do will be useless. Everything. Their hopes for liberation. Liberation, basically, it's a big term, but if we kind of bring it down to simple language, it means we can say even happiness. The cessation of pain, the cessation of suffering, doesn't have to be next life. Even liberation can be defined now. In very simple terms, if we take this big Vedantic concept and we just kind of bring it down to very simple terms, we could say, oh, I'm suffering. I want to get out of it. I have a headache. I have something terrible happen. There's some emotional pain that disturbs me. There's some physical pain. How do I get rid of that? So many people have different options. You can take drugs. You can go to the cinema. You can have this. You can have that. But it's all materialistic. It's all concocted. It's not real happiness. Real happiness is with Krishna. Fruitive activities like welfare. Prabhupada is giving the example of Gandhi. I was just in the same lecture. He's giving the example of Gandhi. That Gandhi is a very mixed character in the way Prabhupada relates to him. Prabhupada very much approves of Gandhi's vision for Varnashram, for village for economic development through village life, localized economy, self-sufficiency, growing your own vegetables, fruits, serving cows. But then he says, philosophically, it's all nonsense. Why? Because he didn't have a guru. He didn't accept a guru. And Srila Prabhupada wrote to him before he was killed. He suggested, you know, just take a month, retire, we can discuss Bhagavad Gita, I can teach you. You will attain the true glory of your position. Otherwise, you may be assassinated. And he was. And Prabhupada says in this lecture, everywhere Gandhi would go, people would say, you know, they would... He said, if there was just a scent of Gandhi coming there, immediately hundreds of people will come there and they will shout, Gandhi Ki Jai, Mahatma Gandhi Ki Jai. And then he said, even on the day of his assassination, he said, I'm disgusted with this. He told his secretary, Prabhupada said that Gandhi told his secretary, I'm disgusted with this. Why? Because Krishna was not there. He did it. He got some things right. He got some things right. His village, his vision for village life was right. Prabhupada says, yes, we can adopt that. But his understanding of the Gita was wrong. It was completely wrong. He didn't accept Krishna as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the basis of what? Speculation, basically. So liberation, fruitive activities, and culture of knowledge. Culture of knowledge also, if we bring it out to simple terms, it's just science, we can say. Science or theology. We can see today, even in India, there is this concept of we have to advance in science, in economic development. We have to start using... How many people here heard of genetically modified vegetables, fruits, crops? Anybody knows the... Anyway, I won't say names of any companies in India, but... We see that science is there. Now you can make hybrids, like many flowers, many vegetables, many fruits. People are making hybrids. It's something that will only, you know, you take two kinds of anything, let's say a flower, and you mix them, and then the next generation you have a hybrid flower, but it's going to be infertile. It's not going to continue to the next generation. You won't get the same result. So, okay, it's science, or genetically modified crops. You take some bacteria, you put it in a vegetable, then you become you get a non-vegetarian vegetable. Horrible. And then it creates different changes in your body. It changes your genetic structure. It causes diseases. It's carcinogenic and so on. So it's science, but it's bad science. What does it serve, this science? You have nuclear energy now. Different diseases are coming out. Swine flu. The India is completely shaking now. The whole world is completely shocked by swine flu. Some people say that it's a genetically modified virus. So what is the use of this science? If so many diseases are coming, if our lives are so becoming so degraded culturally, morally, in terms of wealth. Agriculture. There is such an agricultural crisis now in India because of people, you know, using chemical fertilizers that create depletion of the land. It goes into the water. It poisons the water. Now there is no rain. So many horrible things are happening. So what's the use of this science? What's the use of this so-called happiness? What's the use of this culture, so-called culture? So we have to great fortune of coming to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, coming to in the association of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, lotus feet, so we can take shelter of these great personalities. We can read these books and we can truly make our lives perfect by becoming absorbed in this knowledge, Because nothing else is going to make us happy. Nothing. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Does anyone have any question or comment? Anything you'd like to... Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.